Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of Everything's Hunky Dory. And today we are being joined by a special guest. I'm really excited. She is a former Real Housewife of Toronto. She is an author. She's a mom. She's a super cool chick. And I'm really excited to bring Kara Alloway on today. She has a novel coming out soon. I got an advanced copy, which is like so official. But you can see right there, it says little advanced copy. I was like, oh my God, we did it, Joe. We made it. Anyway, it's a great book that she has coming out on May 30th. You can pre-order it right now. I recommend it. So if she's ready to come in. Let's have her join us.
There we are. Hello.
Hi! Oh my gosh, I love your background.
Oh, is it flipped? Is it
Yeah,
backwards?
it's backwards.
Okay, so hang on, because yesterday I
Yeah.
was doing this podcast. It was so weird, and they made me flip it. So hang on. Oh
Yeah,
my
no worries.
God. Go to choose virtual background, and then choose this, and then I'm going to go mirror my background. Is that right now?
No,
Yes.
it's still like right to left instead of left to
Hold it.
right.
Hang on. Let me just
Yeah.
see. I have a green screen. Mirror my background. Is that right now?
It's
It
not
didn't.
changing at all on my end. I mean,
What?
it's kind of chic, honestly. Like, it's a little backwards. It's a little like
I don't care if
funky.
it's backwards. Hang on.
Yeah.
I just want to put you on
Yeah.
my Bluetooth. I'm sorry. Oh
No
my
worries.
gosh.
Don't be sorry. It's Mercury retrograde. Like, everything is kind of a mess right now. I'm just blaming it on that. I kind of low key love when Mercury retrograde happens because I'm just
You're
like,
so funny.
ah.
I do too, actually. Okay,
I
hang
do. I
on.
love
It's
that.
connecting. AirPods. Come on. Find them. How are you?
I'm so good. How are you? Uh-oh, I lost
Go
you.
like,
Oh, there you go. Okay.
am I here now?
You're
I decided to
there.
go all like, Chanel and stuff because
I
of the
was gonna
Met
say you're
Gala.
giving Karl Lagerfeld Met Gala. This
I have
is
not. I hauled out all my old pe like I got this. I used to when I worked for Allure magazine, I got invited. This is between you and me. Okay. I know this is
Okay.
being recorded, but
Yeah.
do not share this. Oh
That's
yeah, okay.
amazing though. I love a
Yeah.
sale. Like I'm expensive, but I'm thrifty, is what I say. I'm like,
Okay. I am the biggest cheapskate in the world. No, you don't
yes.
understand.
It's
I am
like,
so much like that. I'm expensive, but I'm thrifty. It's so
yeah.
true. Like I hate paying full retail. You gotta be freaking kidding me.
There's nothing that makes me angrier than when like somebody is like refusing to budge on a price, like with a sale. I'm like, this is not going on sale. They're like, no, that's not going on sale. I'm like, what? Like,
And then
not a
isn't it great
10%.
when you hear a good sales story?
Okay, a good sales story is like my favorite thing ever. It ha I
Love
get I get like little random
It's so
ones.
funny.
It's little sale. Okay, this is so random, but like I was buying a flower, like a hanging plant for my, we just moved into our new home, and I was like, "Oh, this is so pretty." It was like a $40 hanging plant, whatever. She rang it up. I didn't even notice it till I got to the car, $12.99. I was like, I mean, I assume it was
Oh
an
my
error, but
gosh.
like, who am I to correct her at her place of
Exactly.
business?
Who
Like,
am
that's so
I?
rude. I'm not, no,
I
ma'am,
love
you're
it.
absolutely right. So it's like little things like that I totally respect. And then if you find, something designer on sale, forget about it. Like,
The
Gilt.
best.
I don't know if you shop on Gilt, but like, Gilt.
No. Okay, there's something about Gilt and Canada because I did used
Oh,
to shop at Gilt when
no.
I lived in LA, but I don't know if it's like the duty or something is too much or whatever. Because
Oh,
yes, I do remember Gilt is so
so
good.
good. So good. Don't you hate that? I hate when people are like, we don't have that. I'm like, or like when I see other things from, like I have a friend who lives in Holland and I see things and I'm like, oh my
Oh.
gosh. And she's like, they don't have it. And I'm like, oh, like that's so
Yeah.
unfair. I wish I had access to all that stuff. But
Oh my
one of the
gosh.
things that,
Hang on, I'm just gonna,
yeah.
it's just reminding me to get on with you. Yes, I
Thank
know I'm on and
you
I've got my
for
do not
like
disturb.
being on time because sometimes that happens
Please.
where I'm like, hello?
That's happened to me a lot since I've been promoting this book. I've been sitting
Really?
here dee, 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 dee,
Yeah,
dee.
like
And I'm like, what's
do.
protocol on like how long are you supposed to wait?
I feel like 10 minutes is
Same.
like, but yeah. Like within a 10-minute window.
If you're not within 10 minutes, you're not coming or whatever.
Or like, let me know what the hell is going on. Cause like, I truly have other things I could do besides stare at myself in bad lighting. Because like right now the lighting in here is not giving any favors, but today was kind of like a wild morning. Thank you so much for coming on. I mean, when I shot my shot with you, honestly, I was just like, I hope she says yes, just because I really do, you know, I think that you're a hoot. And I know that we're going to get into this, but I love you're an Aquarius. So you kind of have a loose filter and a lot of opinions and you're not afraid to give them. So I was just like, you know what? She would be great. And you have this book coming out. So I'm really excited to talk about it because this book it's kind of like fan fiction for like ultimate housewife fans.
That's like, a great way to describe it. I love that. I love that.
Was that kind of like what you were going for?
100%. I was writing something recently and I said, you know, if you like the housewives, it's kind of like you can take it to the beach. And even though you won't be watching the housewives, you still get all the drama on the
yes.
page.
That's exactly. So when I was reading it, I was reading it outside of my sunroom. And then I was like, oh my gosh, like this is seriously perfect for the beach, for the boat, like for your sunroom. When you just don't want to, because sometimes when you're reading on your phone, like, I don't know. It gives me a headache. I get cross-eyed, you know, and something just about a good old fashioned book, like a little,
I love it.
Like a security blanket book. And I love the color pink. So this whole setup is just gorgeous, but I love that. It's like a reality. It's a reality show in a book. It's a bunch of confessionals kind of you know, like when I'm reading the book, I'm kind of like, you know, I'm watching them set up like in a few of the chapters, like, oh, we set up here. And then like, we couldn't use this. And it's like, because I do often wonder when I'm watching the housewives, like, how is this constructed? Like these one quip answers where it's like, you just say something like, is it really a one quip? Or is it like a somebody has to tell you type situation? So like reading this, I kind of felt like there's a lot of truth maybe laced in with the fiction of it all. So can you tell me a little bit about like the writing process for this? Like if that was where you got the inspiration or?
Of course. So to take you back to the genesis of it, I always wanted to write a book about female friendships. Okay. I come from a family of girls, mostly cousins in my family. I went to an all-girls school. My life has been very female-centric. And I just find the way females interact with each other fascinating.
Okay.
So I didn't know what it was going to be. I thought, oh, well, you know, maybe it'll be something at a private girl's school, maybe at a university dorm. I don't know. And it was always in the side burner. My husband was like, yes, I know you're going to write your great novel about female friendships, honey. Then I did Housewives and it was like, oh,
like, yeah.
It was the perfect. I said, oh, this is it. So yes, this is, you know, reality television on the page. I had one producer that I work with. He said, this is like eyeball entertainment. It's like, you know, literally reality television
so
on
good.
The page. Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate that. But yeah, so it's fiction mm-hmm. and it's not, you know, I read somewhere, someone was like, oh, Kara Alloway's writing an autobiography. I was like, no, this is not a biography. This is not an autobiography. This is not a calculated tell all, as you know, from having read it, there's no characters in there that are similar to any characters past or present on mm-hmm. Housewives. I sort of cast it like, who would I want to see on it? But at the same time, I wanted to get that feel. So what you're telling me, I can't even tell you how it's making me go, I have accomplished my goal.
Good.
My work is done. Because I wanted it to give the feeling of a confessional. And yes, there are some confessionals in the page where, you know, they show them taping the confessionals and whatnot. But I wanted to give that feel throughout the book without necessarily having the confessional. So
right.
You saying that you got that, I can't tell you how great that is.
Good.
But to answer your question, the producers help. I mean, at the end of the day, you know, I have worked as a reality mm-hmm. television producer and we're making TV.
Right.
So there were times, thank you very much, producers, when I would be sitting there in a confessional saying something and they would say, would you say this? And I was like, yeah,
oh,
I
yeah.
would. Okay. And I mean, there was one line I remember that they fed me that was like, when you have friends and a lot of money, or when you have a lot of money and a great life, everyone wants to be your friend. And afterwards I was like, what a dumbass. Why the hell would I say that? But like, you're sitting there in the interview and you're
but
in the
it's
moment,
so good.
They go, did you say this? And you don't know, are they saying, would I say this? Or could I say this?
Right.
Being like, an actor, I take direction very well. Sure, I'll say that.
Sure.
But I can remember watching it back and thinking, why did I say that?
There has to be a lot of those moments where like you do get caught, because it happens to everybody, like cameras or no cameras. And like, obviously there's an intention behind what the producers are asking you in confessionals oftentimes that you're not really aware of because you get sucked up in the moment. So then you say stuff and you watch it back on TV, I'm sure. And you're like,
what
not
was I
really
thinking?
What I, yeah. Like,
or that's not what I meant. Or
that's not what I meant.
There
yeah.
was, actually one, they were doing a montage and they said to me, the question the producer posed to me was, what do you think about wife swapping? And I went, well, maybe it's okay for some people, but not for me. I mean, I didn't know like how to respond to that.
That's a weird question.
So then the way it ended up airing was it was a promo for the show and they were having everybody say, what are your opinions on tequila? So they have like, oh, I love it strong. I love it this. And then here comes Kara, who's supposed to be, you know, and all this. And I'm going, well, maybe for some people, but not for me. And I was like, whoa, wait, that was about wife swapping.
Yeah, you're like
tequila. What the heck? So there were a couple. Now, I will tell you this. I have spoken with, this is the production company that did Toronto. I've spoken with housewives from other productions. Mm-hmm. And I mean, specifically Alex Baskin and Evolution, they don't do that monkey business in his productions in Beverly Hills. I heard that because I actually spoke to them and said, I can't believe they did this to me. And they went, no, maybe back at the beginning, like there was a look that was edited here in answer to a different question that was being asked, but they said they're really good with Beverly Hills. I think also with Salt Lake City, I've spoken to those people, Orange County, they're really good about not doing that kind of monkey business. Cause the problem is once you get into that, then your cast lose trust in you. Right.
Yeah,
so,
and you don't
you know,
want that
then you
because...
come around and you're like all guarded, and then it wrecks the reality. Cause half the fun of the reality is the organic content, which is really tricky to get because, you know, you're wearing a mic pack. You're keenly aware that you are being filmed. You have someone with a boom. You have a sound guy carrying the big sound machine following you around wearing headphones. And you
right,
have
it's
a
not a ghost.
Oh, no.
Like
so
you're fully
time,
aware.
You're doing a scene in your bathroom, putting on makeup.
Brushing
or something,
your teeth, like you said in that interview.
Yes.
Like...
And there's five people around you. So I think people really forget that. I know they do because I had some people on social media say to me, do you realize you said this and we know? And I was like, yeah, I know. I said that.
I got it. Thanks. I
but
was there.
That's the trick. That's the real trick of reality television is how do you capture organic moments, but you're filming it. So it's an art. I 100% am a fan of the genre. I say it is an art.
Yeah.
And there are certain companies, Truly Original, 32 Flavors, Evolution,
mm-hmm.
who have just perfected it. I mean, if I could say Alex Baskin should seriously teach a course in how to do reality television. I mean, the stuff that's going on Vanderpump Rules this season. Wow, is that
Crazy.
Ever good content?
Oh my gosh.
That is good television.
That broke into mainstream media even. Like everybody's talking, you know, people who don't watch my non-Bravo friends, you know, non-Housewife friends are like, what is this like scandal? I'm like, yeah. I'm like,
yep.
It's interesting. You should watch the network. Like I've been telling you. So it's, you know, with being, you know, you're not just a housewife. Like for people who don't know, she's not, you know, just like a lady with a rich husband who's like got a great sense of humor and a sharp tongue and quick wit. You were at Allure magazine for how long?
Yeah, I worked at Allure magazine for 4 years,
yeah.
actually, in their West Coast offices in Beverly Hills.
Yeah,
that was
so
talk about a dream
Kara's
gig.
A big
that
deal. How I went to school for fashion. You can't tell today, you guys. It's been a long week, right? But like
you're
I
great.
Went to the thank you. I went to the Art Institute for fashion design, marketing, merchandising. Yeah. And I mean, I didn't do anything with my degree. I worked in financial crimes and like I just got my real estate license.
That's
I'm like
cool.
A jack of all trades type of person. I've got like a small business, whatever. The degree is just, it was something cool that
degree,
I spent money
no,
on.
No, but the degree is part of your arc. Don't say that.
Yeah.
I have three young boys and not that young, but you know, in their late teens and early 20s. And I say to them all the time, like, you know, I have one son who is a biomedical engineer who's like killing it in real estate. And I, you know, he's like,
that's
exactly.
amazing.
But you have to understand. So do not belittle your art degree. Don't do that, because that's part of your arc. That's part of the foundation of the layer that it will serve you. You have done things that you don't realize yet in pursuing that degree that will serve you. Sorry, thank I'm going you. Into mom mode.
No, but it's okay. I love a mom moment. Mother's Day is coming up. So it's very on brand. I love that. Thank you though. Cause sometimes I am like, what the hell did I like what was I doing? It. But I mean, it was fun. It was cool. I did learn a lot of stuff that I, you know, about brick and mortar stores and things like that I'm, you know, knowledgeable of now. But so back to your book for a little bit.
Yes,
is there a character that resonated most like with you? Because I always wonder when people are writing books, if there's like a character that they kind of put themselves into a little more than others. Was there?
Absolutely. I mean, I think you can sort of guess Dahlia.
Zoe?
When you started off saying I have a loose filter, I was like, I'm like Dahlia that way.
Dahlia was okay. So I had a hard time.
She has a loose filter. She has to learn. Yeah. And I like her because she is a lot like me, because, you know, like she's what I call my flawed heroine, right? Like she is not perfect. She speaks when she shouldn't. She messes up like I did on the show. You know, she doesn't get it. She's sort of like, what? Aren't we just all here to like speak our
have
truth?
Fun.
And what are you guys doing? And I love, you know, when she says she's the Jim Halpert, that was like right for me, because
I have
that
a page
vibe.
Mark. For Dahlia,
oh, really?
That was one of my, So one of my favorite pages when I was reading it, I marked a few, but one of them was Dahlia's, where she has her hangover and she like just the few quips, you know, like, there is no calling in sick when you signed up for your life to be filmed. Like, I feel like that's in it set, even if it's not your real life. And like, I just really liked this little.
That vibe is so much, that's how it is. Like, it's very interesting too. When you're in the heart of filming, what a lot of people don't realize is you're not filming 24/7. Okay. But you are filming 3 and 4 days a week. And usually for us, how it would be a Saturday would be a group event. And then in between you're doing all the little filling stuff and, you know, your personal life, you might be filming or you having conversations with other housewives and things. The anxiety level is so high. Because
pressure. It's
like this crazy chess game and you're always trying to think like, what are the others filming? What are the others saying?
What are they
and
doing?
Then there's a little bit of mind games from the production, right? Like, don't worry.
Yeah, it's okay. It's
we're doing this. So yeah, it's the anxiety level is so high. You have no time for literally anything else. Yeah, you have no time for strategy. I barely had enough time to get to the gym. No time to like do anything for my family or anything. It was and it's so funny because I get it now when my other friends who are housewives are filming. I'm like, hey, call me when you're done, because I know you're in the zone and you got to focus.
You got to
get in there.
It's like a literal, I always picture it like if I was filming a season of Housewives, like 4 months of strategizing, like who's going to stab me in the back? Who's going to take some wild, like not even accurate thing that I said and kind of like add a little bit of seasoning to the top of it and then like circulate. It really is like a mind game. So, you know,
and add to that, I was on, it was season one. We only did one season, but it was season one. And I went into this as a producer. Like that's how I got affiliated with the, I had pitched a production. I didn't end up doing it. Yes. Okay. I didn't end up doing it with this production company, but I had pitched it to them. So in the back of my head, while I'm filming this, I'm thinking this show has to be great. This show has to be fabulous. So, you know, there were a couple times when I was the pot stirrer. I mean, I was the troublemaker, whatever you want to call me, the unfiltered, the independent thinker. I like
the villain. Like, I guess you'd
be anti-hero.
The anti-hero.
Villain. It's okay. You can use the V word.
It's okay. You're not a villain.
It's okay.
I mean, if it's any like indication of my feelings towards villains, like my favorite housewife is Lisa Rinna. So,
okay, there you go.
I have a perplexity for that kind of thing, but
here's to the independent thinkers, as I like to say, which is kind of interesting in the dynamic of women versus women, because a lot of the information for the characterization of this, yes, it was fed by the emotions and feelings I had when I was doing the show, but also I did research. I read this book, should be required reading for every 16-year-old, Woman's Inhumanity to Woman by Dr. Phyllis Chesler. It's a nonfiction research book. She spent, I think, 7+ years researching this. She is a second generation self-proclaimed feminist. And she said, I need to study what's going on with these female interactions. So after I did Housewives, I was like a mess. And I thought, is it me? Am I like this? Like watching myself on TV, it's such a mind, you know what? So yeah. I was like, what the heck?
Whatever.
Okay, such a mind. So I thought, like, I got to get it together. Like, I need to find out what's going on. And then different people were reacting to. I mean, you know, I had some friends that were like, I can no longer associate. And I was going, you got to be freaking kidding me. This was like
it's
a
so
show.
Wild to me. Yeah.
I couldn't believe that. I was like, wait, it was for entertainment. They were like, well, if it was for entertainment, why were you saying these things? And I was like, because I was like trying to make a good show. So I read this book. Wow. Life changing. And
I'll
it all
to
starts
read that.
In the playground. Oh, you have to. And it's funny. I think my publisher sort of goes, why are you selling someone else's book? But all praise to Dr. Phyllis Chesler for writing this book. Phenomenal. And it starts with little girls in the playground. Age 8, we're very tribal, and there's the top tier.
The Regina George.
The Regina George. It's exactly Mean Girls. Mm-hmm. I wonder if Tina Fey read that book, because if you don't subscribe to the way of thinking of the top of the tribe, then
you're
outcast.
Cut out.
Now,
yeah.
If you're a little boy, how do you deal with aggressions? Well, you tussle and ruffle and
say,
things
you, like
that.
Beat each other up and move
right?
on.
When you're 8, exactly. Yeah. But when you're a little girl, you don't do that. And not that I'm saying that there should be increased physicality. I'm not saying that. But how do little girls deal with it? Well, they're taught, put it in your pocket and take it home and unpack it later or something like that.
Right.
How does it manifest itself? Gossip.
Anger.
Shunning.
Yeah.
Slandering. Mm-hmm. All of this repressed anger, a lot of repressed anger that results in that. So Dr. Phyllis Chesler unpacked this and said, inherently, the way we are raising our little girls to interact with each other, and because females are so relational, we want these deep, passionate relationships as opposed to the guys that want middle ground relationships, which actually might be a safer way to do a friendship, which sounds awful,
no,
but it
it's
might
so
be.
True. It's
so guys are up here, whereas we are like, down
deep
and deep and we
yeah.
want. So you have a best friend. Girls tend to have dyadic relationships, one-to-one. You have a best friend because you don't often hear of guys talking but their best friend, right? Like they have a tribe or whatever.
Yeah,
but
it's like
we
two
have
other,
you know,
got like two, it's like a group of three always
a
I
group
like with guys.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But girls, we have the best friend. So let's say you outgrow your best friend, or she has satisfied all the needs. I mean, Dr. Chesler goes into this huge thing about how a best friend actually replaces the unfulfilled needs that your mother should have been able to give you and all this stuff. It's very deep, but it's a great read. But then your best friend knows where all the bones are buried, or all the bodies are buried.
That's
so
true.
Now you break up and now you have someone that knows everything about you. It's just, this book is insane.
That
and
actually
she talks
just
about
happened
like how we need to read it. Exactly.
And it's
for you. I thought you were talking about on
No, I just ended my 25-year best friendship. Yeah. And it's like,
okay.
You do think about stuff like
Isn't
that.
That
you're
the
like,
hardest breakup? Breaking up with a friend like that is crushing to a girl.
I was like physically ill for like 3 days afterwards. Like I just had a stomach ache. Like I was super depressed. Like, you know, but it needed to be done. And like, I'm a never say never type of person, same as you. Maybe one day, but right now, like the damage was just so deep. And like,
I'm sorry for that. I really am sorry for that.
But
it hurts. And it's fascinating to me the way we
do
this as women. You got to read this book and like, please put this in. And she goes into this whole, somebody said to me, if you could have a campaign, you know, you've written this book now, if you could have a campaign, what would it be? And I said, you know what my campaign would be? We in our culture have made a lot of words, you know, that's a toxic word. We will not tolerate that anymore. We've made a lot of things, you know, we will not tolerate that. I would start a campaign with young kids that gossip is toxic. And if you're in the playground and you hear gossip, walk away.
Walk away.
That becomes something in our society.
Yeah. It's because it really is. I use this weird analogy where I say, you know, if you feed the monster, it will grow. Meaning if you spread the rumors, if you spread the gossip, it keeps growing and you don't know what it grows into. If you ignore the monster, it dies and it will find something else to feed off of, you know, like somebody else will have a rumor. So it's, you know, because the gossip really is so toxic with the kids now.
Oh, it is. Social media. It's toxic with kids. And in some countries, I mean, Dr. Chesler goes into this, in some countries it leads to honor killings, you know, like someone's gossiping about someone, like it's a life and death thing. Like it is, I don't think we realize how big and bad this is.
like long term, you know, because
here I am
media,
on my soapbox.
No, I love it. But it's true that like in the way that you wrote the book, even like the gossip between them is obviously like it's, well, you guys have to read the book. Listen, like I'm telling if you,
Spoiler alert.
Like there's a lot of gossip that goes into here and some of it is toxic. Like some of it's like deeply toxic and stuff. So when you were writing this, did you kind of like reference, like, was that like a point of reference?
Definitely,
maybe
it informed my characterization. Absolutely. That's why I say it's funny. Cause a lot of people are like, oh, it's a light beach read. It's this. And I'm like, it is, but there's layers. It's a little deep.
Yeah. Well, and that's kind of what I like about it, because sometimes like I struggle with novels in that sense, just because I like a biography or like something real or based on real. And this gave me fantasy, but also like still grounded very much in reality and relatable to like you could almost, when some of the confessionals were being described, it would kind of trigger a memory of like an actual housewife confessional that, you know, I've seen on a certain franchise or something.
I
also really liked that I feel like the ages and the identities of all three of the women could be different for like any reader, you know, like somebody could interpret them as like young 20 somethings. Others, I interpreted them more as like I'm 38, so like maybe because I'm a little narcissistic, I was like, these are my ladies, like these are in my little demographic box. Like I was thinking like 36 to 42 was kind of like the range for them, but I think that it could be applied to anybody. Was that your intention, or is that just
I think the character Lexi is a little younger.
So I was gonna say there's one other, hold on.
Love you have dog-eared page. Can I tell you how much I love you have dog-eared pages? Absolutely love that.
Thank you. I'm so old school with some of the things that I do, like dog-eared pages. Like a bookmark is great, but I'm like, I need like 7 bookmarks for the book because I like to have a reference. I was gonna ask about Rob. Is he older, or were you writing?
Yes.
Okay.
No, Robbie was supposed to be, he's supposed to be older. So he's the royal. Well, he's not actually a royal.
Okay.
He's the titled aristocrat from Europe that Sabrina was married to. But yes, he is a little older and sort of comes in at just the right time in her life to say, oh, let's get married and be fabulous together.
Amazing. Hold on, I'm looking for the other dog-eared page. This was just, Kara, I have to say, like, this is probably the first book I've read start to finish in the last like 7 months because I've been moving and stuff. Oh,
amazing.
Zoe. It's just an easy read. I got through it in 10 days. Like,
Put it down like reality television and then go back to it again.
And that was one of the best parts of it. The Zoe. Okay. So when Zoe was discussing like good surprises and stuff like that, Zoe was kind of, I was getting like a Charlotte vibe from her, like kind of like,
okay, yeah, is that, I can
like
see that.
Okay. She was my I don't want to say like the helpless friend, but kind of like the helpless friend. She was the one who I felt the most sorry for while I was reading the book.
That's interesting, because some people, I love hearing this. So let me tell you this. I saw Margaret Atwood interviewed. And it was such a fascinating interview because she's a great interview. She's a really great interview. I mean, she's in her late 80s. She's the Handmaid's Tale one. And she was talking, she wrote the Handmaid's Tale. So now she's in her late 80s and she's widowed. And she has just written a new book of short stories. I have to confess, I was never a huge Margaret Atwood fan because I was forced to read her in school. So if you're forced to do something in school,
it's like traumatic to do it again
later.
Like
you're like, right? You're like, oh, really?
Like,
have to learn to like it again. And now she's written this book of short stories. Amazing. It's called Old Babes in the Wood. Again, I'm selling other people's books, but that's okay. That's what authors should do. They should encourage other authors.
You're using stuff from these books to write this book. So it's like, telling you guys.
Well, not from her book, but from her interview. What she said was fascinating. She said, writers write to evoke. And I thought, wow, isn't that interesting? Because someone was interviewing her saying, now, when you wrote this, what were you thinking about this? And she said, honestly, we write to evoke. So you tell me what you got from that. So I love hearing, this is the best part of writing a book, is hearing the feedback from people like you, because I've heard feedback from people saying, Zoe is hideous. I hated her the whole way through. I can't believe it. And I thought, oh, that's interesting, because I tried to write Zoe with some, like compassion,
felt bad
that you
for
would
her.
Feel, and good.
Like, I like didn't want to be
you're
mean.
You're supposed to, right?
Yeah, okay, like
because you're a nice person too. I can tell.
Well,
I know.
Thanks.
I know exactly who you are.
I was just like she. Not that like I said like when I said like I felt like she was helpless. It was just kind of like that friend that like makes decisions where you're like she thinks too much with her heart, not with her head.
Yep.
Like
exactly
kind of just confused. Yeah. So she. I liked everybody, but I think
who did you like the best?
Probably Dahlia.
Yeah, she's
probably
like...
Dahlia. Sabrina was great too, but probably just because the unfiltered kind of behavior, because that's very much me, like mild undiagnosed Tourette's, like kind of say what you say, like whoops.
That's me.
Yeah, oops, sorry about that. Like didn't really mean for that to come out the way that it did, but came out, sorry.
Exactly.
But yeah, no, and that's why when I was asking you like if there was a character that you had kind of like poured yourself into a little bit more, you know, because you are the villain of Toronto, which would you, I have to ask. So since you used to live in California,
yes,
like would you ever go back and like, I don't know, maybe film again?
Would I ever go back and maybe, you know, I'd never say never.
Because look,
doesn't
we're
that
all...
sound like a publicist fed me that line? I'd never
yeah.
say never. No, you know what? I think, you know, it all depends on every situation, on where I am, on where my family is, on where I am personally, on who else is involved, on
right.
all of that. I mean,
heavy on the who else is involved, I feel
heavy
like.
On who else is involved, and also very heavy, believe it or not, on who's steering the ship. On what production company
production,
it is. Because at the end of the day, to me, that is everything. Who is producing it? You have to have that level of trust in the producers that, you know, the interesting thing about my production crew was they had done The Bachelorette in Canada and The Bachelor in Canada. So when you're editing and producing that sort of program, it's one season, unless they want to go on, you know, Bachelor in Paradise or whatever. But you really don't have a problem with throwing people under the bus.
Yeah, because you're not going to see them anymore. You're like, this is like a four-week social experiment.
Like, yeah, exactly. So when they're doing the edit and the production, you know, they can make people look however they want to. When you're doing a show like this, that's like a docu-soap that's, you know, hoping to go on for more seasons, you have to be careful about that. Because if you throw people too far under the bus, then you lose their trust. And like I said, then if they do come back, that organic nature will be lost. There'll be, I mean, the viewer has to be given a lot of credit. In my opinion, when I am on social media reading what the viewers say, they're very keen as to what's going on. They can smell a rat a mile away. They can smell a setup a mile away. They can smell contrived
staged,
situations.
Yes. Yeah. Like staged arguments where it's just like, oh my gosh, come on, you guys. We've been watching for 17 seasons. Like,
yes.
Do
or
better.
Someone who is desperate for
airtime
and content. Yes. Mm-hmm. Now I'm going to
start
all of a sudden, why do you have a problem with me? And it's like, wah, wah, no.
Right. It's like, it's not doing what you think it's doing. Like, stop doing that, please. But so when I was reading your lovely little, I loved this little insert that you had with the book.
Thank you.
That
it's
gives
called,
you like.
Oh, that's so that. Okay. So what you have is an advanced reader copy.
Okay.
So that would be on the back of the book. My book will have flaps. It's called, what's it? A trade paperback is what
trade
it's
paperback.
The format
okay.
is called.
It's,
so it will
this.
Have flaps and that would be on the back. But yes, go ahead. When you were reading my reviews.
When I was reading your reviews, obviously I was gravitated towards the, you know, the housewife reviews. Like Vicki Gunvalson gave a really good review and she's like, obviously the housewife OG. And Kathy Hilton, who, you know, obviously I love her. But we were talking a little bit before we started. Oh, and Melissa Feaster, I love her so much too.
She's
like
so good.
She's so good. And I love watching her journey, you know, like this is part of like the women dynamic thing. Cause it's
exactly.
like some women get it and some women are like, oh my God, like love this for you. Like good job, like rooting for you. And other girls are like,
yeah.
You know, so I'm glad, I was glad to see her, because some people are, you know, like, who is this fangirl who has a podcast with Teresa? And it's like,
she's amazing. And she's so funny. She's, I mean, so even funny. when she texts me, she's hilarious. What's up, hot stuff?
Yeah. Like, hey, babe, like, what's up, hottie? She's so cute. I love her. But the question that I wanted to ask you, so we were talking a little bit about Kathy Hilton, and you had mentioned that you're friends with Kyle Richards. So it's like, is that your franchise that you're most friendly with out of the United States, ladies, would you say?
Yes. So I spent some time last summer with Leanne and Vicky, and adore them. They're so much fun. We were in the Hamptons together. So much fun. If you knew my husband, he is the most quiet, like, not housewife's husband guy
Did
in the world.
Get
like,
him
he didn't
to
even
move it up.
It wasn't Vicky, it was Leanne. He is so funny. He and Leanne hit it off so much. And you know how Leanne is so, like, out of control, unfiltered.
Yeah.
He adored her. He was like, she is so fun and crazy. Because she just is, again, another, you know, unfiltered, another independent thinker. So he absolutely adored her. Vicky was so much fun. She was there with Michael, and we had some really fun times together. It was really good. Am I the closest with Beverly Hills? Probably, because I have known Kathy for, I don't want to make myself seem that old, but I've known Kathy for like 28 years.
Oh.
Yeah. Kim too. Kyle, same. So I've known them all that long, forever. I mean, I can't say enough about, and the Hilton sisters will, they'll make it up. Like a switch will flip. They are collectively the nicest group. Collectively, I can't say enough nice things about the Hilton family. When I was living in Los Angeles as, you know, a single girl who was working and stuff, they were the family that would make sure I had a place to be at Thanksgiving if I wasn't coming home. They were the family that said, oh, what are you doing, Kim? You know, what are you doing for the 4th of July? We've rented Sting's beach house in Malibu, and you're coming. You will come. And I was like, I remember at that time, I didn't even know Kim that well. I was closer with Kyle, and Kyle was out of town, and Kim was like, that doesn't matter. You're coming. Like, just collectively, good people. Big Kathy was the nicest, sweetest, kindest surrogate mom for me. She was just amazing.
That's so sweet. That's so nice to hear, because you hear things, you know, and I'm not a big subscriber to, like, believing secondhand information. Yeah, like, I want to hear it from somebody who's, like, actually spent time with them. And, like, clearly Kathy, nor Kyle, nor Kim is, like, holding a gun to your head to ask you to say all these kind things about them. So it's like, this is firsthand information from, you know, somebody. And I'm sorry, but Kathy Hilton seems like the most pure person ever.
Oh, she is.
Like, she was killing me the other night. She was on Instagram Live. Whenever Kathy's on Instagram Live, or when I see her on other people's lives, I'm like, this is amazing, because Paris was on her way to the Met, and Kathy was, like, sending comments. She's like, Paris is in her car on the way right now. And it was just so pure and cute, because it was Paris' first, you know, time attending the Met. So I was just like, I love this. Like, I think they're such a cute family, and I know that they have, you know, their issues.
Let me tell you something about Kathy Hilton. This is the kind of friend Kathy Hilton is. When she was doing Jimmy Fallon, The Tonight Show with Paris, she called me up, because this is how Kathy and I are. Hey, come to New York in 2 days. I'm doing The Tonight Show. Okay. See you then.
I didn't have a chance to say no.
It was the end of COVID, and they were still testing, and I was in Canada, and I had to scramble to get a COVID test to get on a flight and all this stuff. But I got on a flight, and I went, and I can remember we were walking in, and it was cool, right? Because you're walking down the hallways of NBC for the Tonight Show, and you're going into the dressing room, and I was sitting there and sort of had, like, my Julia Roberts Pretty Woman moment, going, Kathy, if I forget to tell you, I had a really good time. I said, you know, thank you so much for bringing me. And she said, Kara, like, when you do fun stuff, if you don't share it with your friends, it makes it so much more fun. And that's the kind of person she is. She has always been such a real person. I remember before she was on Housewives, I used to tell people, Kathy Hilton is the funniest person I know. And they would be like, really? I don't think of her that way. I think of her as so proper and refined.
Reserved.
And she's a socialite. Yes. And I'm like, oh, you have no idea.
I knew immediately from just, because she's been in little episodes here and there scattered throughout, and she was even on an episode of Million Dollar Listing, like, years and years ago.
I didn't even realize that.
Yeah, it was when and I can't remember his last name, but the guy Chad that was on Million Dollar Listing, Los Angeles,
yes,
with the
yes.
hair
and There was something was about Ron, blueberries or something, wasn't there?
Yes, and it was the guy, what's his name? The attorney guy mm-hmm. who was like super obsessed with Erica Jane.
Yes.
That guy
yes.
was in the episode. And it was like, and I watched this recently because I was just, I loved old Bravo is like my security blanket. So I was just watching old episodes and I was like, it's Kathy. And she was just being super quirky in the episode too. So I think it was just little breadcrumbs leading up to when we finally got to see her in all her glory on Beverly Hills, which hopefully one day she'll come back. I mean, I think she's a never say never type of girl too. Like, I think she likes it also. And I know, but I think Paris has a project going on right now.
Yeah. I think Kathy's been filming Paris
with
in Love,
Paris,
right?
Yeah,
so she's
yeah.
doing Paris in Love season 2.
So it's not like we're missing Kathy. It's just, we're going to have to, I always say like cross the fence over into Peacock. Like, I'm like, we got to go across to the other yard, you guys, like keep it over into the, from Bravo over to Peacock. But, so you're friends with Vicky, you're friends with Jill's there and
I called Jill and said, I texted her and said, would you consider writing a blurb for the back of my book? And like, had barely finished the text.
Of course.
I was like, wow, thanks, Jill. And Jill, it's so funny the way the housewives are so much like their franchise. So for example, Leanne from Dallas, I remember when I was like, oh, Leanne, it's not going well. And she was like, oh, did you cuss? Is that why it's not going well for you, sweetie? I was like, no, it's not because I cussed.
Bless your heart. Then,
exactly. She says, bless your heart. And then there's Jill, who is like the ultimate hustler. Mm. And I remember the first time I met her, Bobby was still alive and he was really sick. Oh. And she was doing her housewives reunion to raise money for the thyroid cancer foundation she has.
Yeah.
And I said, you know, I think I'd like to come. And she's like, all right. So you're coming. She is like a hustler. Let's go. It's so cool to see the way they are all like a little bit like the cities that they're from. Vicky's just a delight. She's just so fun and funny and delightful. I stepped on her toe at a party in the summer.
Oh my God.
I was wearing these
huge platform shoes.
I was wearing these huge platform shoes and her feet were sore. So she had taken off her shoes and she was running around in her little bare feet. And we were standing posing for a picture and I took a step to the side and I looked down and I was like, oh my gosh. And it's fine. Don't worry about it.
She's one of the more polarizing housewives. I feel like I'm on a little, I think I'm on season 6 rewatch of Orange County right now. And I'm mostly doing it just because my husband's into the shows. Like, he just doesn't really like admitting it. Yeah, he totally is though. And last night's episode that I was watching right before bed is the episode. It's probably it's in my top housewives episodes. It's when Vicky's daughter tells Vicky like, hey, I went to a drive-thru and got married. And Vicky's like, like she does that like head shake thing where she was like,
Yeah.
And she's her. Like, my husband was like, so entertained by the fact that she in her confessional was like, this is the most disrespectful, embarrassing. And Matt was like, you would swear she was like doing porn. I was like, I know. I was like, but like everything is a big deal for Vicky. Like it's, everything is over the top and that's just how Vicky is. So I'm glad that she's coming back.
She feels passionately and deeply.
Always. So, she's an Aries.
Right?
They don't know how to turn it off.
Interesting. Okay. My husband is an Aries. Very interesting.
There you go.
That's probably why he liked her so much. Okay.
Yeah, because they are always at their most, like always feeling the most. Everything is exciting for them. Like,
yes.
Yeah. And you're like, what?
It's funny. My mom is an Aries too. And I'll like call my mom and say something like, oh, mom, I lost a sock in the dryer. She's like, oh my goodness, what are we going to do?
Buy a new pair. It's fine. It's not that deep. Like, yeah, they're very passionate people, but I would love to see, like, I know that Toronto, obviously, it doesn't seem like that's coming back anytime soon, but it could happen. Look at Miami.
You never know. Miami resuscitated that.
They resuscitated.
And now it's killing it.
It's so good. Like,
it's so good.
It's so good. And it's one of the more lighthearted. I have to ask like your opinion as I'm sure you're somebody who's watched Housewives for a while at this point. I feel like the climate is kind of starting to go back to old Housewives, or they're trying to, because it's been toxic for
yes.
a little while.
I do feel that they're doing that actually. And I like that. Because I like, you know,
I don't
the
like
original.
I like the silly, like, you know, and this is what my husband was even saying last night when we were watching the old Orange County episode. He's like, see, this is the stuff I like. He's like, they're at some like event and like the worst thing that's happened to them is like somebody's daughter went through a drive-thru and got married. Like, it's just weird, like petty drama. And I was like, yes, like this is what I love. Like, this is what
that's
I crave.
What I think. That's what provides the escapism for the viewer.
Yes.
And I think that just a little bit of that is what the little bit of the silly behavior is what scratches the itch of somebody said this quote to me and it was so good. It said, a judgment is a confession. And I thought about that and I thought, wow, isn't that interesting? Because when I put that in context of when you're watching these shows and you sit back and, you know, say, for example, someone throws a drink at someone and you judge and go, oh, that's so bad. Are you saying that because maybe you would like to throw a drink at someone, but you know you can't do that. You know you can't, but secretly, oh, I would like to throw a drink at someone, but that is so bad that she did that. So I think of that a lot. It's really resonated with me.
That's hot.
Really.
I love that, actually. Like, that's, you're so deep. I love that. I could talk to you for like 6 hours. I'm like,
I'm
oh my gosh.
So deep.
Like, no, you are so deep though, because like, that's true. When you think about it, you're usually projecting your own weird, like, muddled insecurities that you've like stored away deep down when you judge other people, which, you know, I just got done judging everybody at the Met Gala on Monday night, you know, like
me too. And how good was that? Oh gosh.
It was actually like, I recorded an episode yesterday about it. I thought initially watching it, I thought, it's good, but like, But then looking back at the pictures yesterday while we were recording, I was like, actually, I feel like I slandered this like a little too hard on Monday. Maybe I was in a mood. Like, I had a little bit of a weird day on Monday. So I feel like my vibe was just like shit by the time the Met Gala came on. I was just ready to throw tomatoes at everybody on
okay.
the TV. So it was like,
there was, who was the guy? Did you see the guy in the Balmain that didn't get a lot of coverage? But
why
Vogue covered
is he
him?
Not getting coverage? Like,
oh
I was actually
gosh,
just,
that was spectacular.
It was so intricate. Like, first of all, it was huge. Like, it took up the entire staircase and it was perfectly done. It wasn't like a janky screenshot, you know,
oh, no.
or screen print onto.
No.
It was like, I don't even know how many man hours went into that, because I've been reading about other man hour. I fall down these rabbit holes of like.
Yes, I do too.
I'm sure. Yeah. Fashion people.
My house can be burning down and I'm like, just a second.
I'm like, but
doing
it took 30. Yeah, hold on. It took 30 hours to do this. I'll be there in 1 second. Yeah. But like, I don't know why he's not getting more coverage, because it's a fantastic. Olivier Rousteing is such a genius. Like that. I'm going to post that on my stories later today. Who was your favorite of the night?
Oh boy. Who was my favorite? I loved Rita Ora. Loved Rita Ora.
She's sexy.
Oh, so sexy.
So sexy.
She's one of my fashion go-tos. I love her. I really liked Gigi in the Givenchy, because I loved the corseting. I liked that a lot. Who else did I really like? I liked the, what's the Sweeney girl's first name? Sydney Sweeney in the Miu Miu. Really just, because when I looked at it, I was like, what's capturing the feel of like Chanel and Chloe and Fendi when Carl did? How about you? Who was your favorite?
Okay. So like, I don't even like her as so hard. It was so hard for me, because like, you know, when you don't like somebody, but you're like, wow, like they look amazing.
Yes.
So you like have to give it to them. Anne Hathaway destroyed.
Oh,
she
okay
leveled.
Yes, agreed,
like, it
agreed.
Was so good. I was just like, holy shit, like her hair, like just the whole
I
Versace
actually
aesthetic.
Totally agree.
Oof.
She really did. And the way, see, and I think that's a win, because anybody can just do a vintage dress and say, here I am in a vintage, but to make it modern but also capture the feel, and the way she had the tweed, which was the classic Chanel
with
the Camillas,
the Versace,
but then the Versace
safety pins,
like, oh, that, see, I thought that
was everything.
That's what the Met Gala is supposed to be. It's worlds colliding, right?
Yes.
And she did such a, you're right. I keep forgetting about her. I don't know why I have to remember her.
There were a lot
list.
Of
she
good,
was really
you,
good.
I was going to say, if you go back and look at them, like I kept changing my opinion more and more, the more that I sat on the Met Gala page, I was like, wow. Like, and the men were really turning it out too. Like the men did a great job.
ASAP Rocky. I need to know what happened with that, because Anna Wintour apparently hates jeans. If you wear jeans, you are like dun, the dun, devil. Dun, dun. Yeah. And when I saw the jeans, I was just like,
I slandered the look hard yesterday because I was like, why? I was like, he's wearing four belts. Like, I need to know why. And so apparently, the girl I was recording with, my friend Molly, she told me that this is a replica of an outfit that Carl wore to one of his runway shows in like 1994 or something like that.
Okay.
Without the four belts though. So that's okay. Where I was like, okay, see, still like,
but why four belts?
Thank you. Like, what are you doing with all of that? And so, but yeah, with the jeans though, I was just very confused. Like,
right. I didn't hate the kilt. My husband actually wore a kilt to Paris Hilton's wedding. Do you believe that? I said, you're going to be like the new Bond villain, the man
that's
in the kilt,
sexy.
Because everybody knew who he was. Everybody was
the
like
guy in the kilt.
The guy in the kilt.
The guy in the kilt. Yeah. That's sexy though. And that's a good way to stand out because you're like, we just said the guy in the kilt all night. I'd be like that guy over there in the kilt, you know, him. I thought also, I'll just ask real quick. What did you think of Pedro Pascal's little like hoochie daddy shorts?
Oh, actually, you know what?
I thought
I
it was so
thought
cute.
It was fun.
I did
to tell
too.
You the truth, I really thought it was fun. Okay. I don't penalize people for taking a risk. First of all, I am the fashion risk girl, so I would never penalize someone for taking a risk. Mm-hmm. Kendall with no pants. Okay, I was there for it.
Yeah, it was. I don't know. Something was like off about that to me. I don't know if it's because she was like 9 feet tall. I don't know if like because like the proportions when she was photographing with people, I was like, you look like a literal gargantuan. Like
she was because she's so tall to start with, and I think they were 8-inch platforms. Can
she's
you imagine
6 foot
inch?
One. So
oh my gosh,
she's like a literal huge, like a basketball player, like a Shaquille O'Neal person, and then her sisters are like 5 feet tall,
right? So. Yes, the family picture. Actually, that's funny. I did notice that very dramatically in the family picture. It was like, ooh,
Kim looked like a bedazzled chicken nugget. Like she was just like so teeny tiny next to Kendall, and I was just like, oh my gosh. Like I think the shoes were just too much, but her ass looked amazing. So I guess if your ass
I
want
to
like
wear
that,
an outfit like that to my book launch. Did she have stockings on? I like
I don't know, but going, like
can you
I
not wear
you
no
should.
Pants to your book launch?
Yeah, like, you can do whatever you want for your book launch. And plus like your book is so I mean I feel like you should wear a dress like this though, like a cute
do
like,
you think okay I was thinking of doing that, and actually I was thinking of having an inflatable champagne glass and like having a photo op for people to live in.
No, because everybody, yeah, with a big, you know, like a step and repeat of the book behind. Yes. Oh my gosh. Absolutely
okay,
do that.
It's happening and I'm sending you the first picture.
You have to for sure. And please, like, I know that Canada is a far hike from the swamps of Florida where I live. I'm in the Orlando area. But
oh my gosh. We keep a boat in Florida. I love Florida. We go to the Keys all the time.
Oh my
my,
gosh.
My
well,
son went to University of Miami, and my other son is going to University of Miami to do his master's. We
really?
Love Florida. Yeah.
That's amazing. And that's a great school too, because I mean, there's a lot of reasons that's a great school. And like the campus, the people, the food, like Miami's just a great place. So yeah, let me know when you're in the area, but let us know a little bit more about the book before I let you go today. It's coming out May 30th.
It releases May 30th. Pre-orders are everything. So you can order it on Amazon.com
today
or BarnesandNoble.com today. And like everybody says to me, like, why are you harassing us about pre-orders? Everybody wants to know that. And I never really realized this before, but pre-orders dictate an algorithm that tells distributors if this book is going to be popular or not. So they are everything to authors.
Wow.
I never pre-ordered a book before. And I love Emma Lovewell. Her book just came out, I think, 2 days ago. But I can recall back in September, she was on this huge campaign saying, pre-order my book, pre-order my book. And I was thinking, why am I pre-ordering a book in September that's coming out in end of April, May? Like, why would I do that? Now, being an author, I understand pre-orders are so important. You don't pay till it ships. So go to Amazon, order it. It's just a click. Please.
Yeah,
it
already,
helps me
I,
so much.
It's funny that you said, I'm glad that you said that, actually, because I just started doing pre-order within the last, whenever Trixie and Katya released their first book, The Modern Guide to Womanhood. Like,
Yes.
They sent
oh,
out
so
a notification just saying like pre-order. And so I just did it and then it came, but I didn't know that it like drove an algorithm. So you guys like support other women.
Pre-order.
Go pre-order the book.
Most like, hated. It's the pink cover.
Most hated, but like most loved. You're such a doll. Like, I loved talking to you. I would love to have you back on soon. Have a little catch-up session. Maybe talk what you're doing in fashion, because I know you're still dabbling a little bit in that kind
still
of writing.
Still dabbling too. A little. Yeah. Yes, I could talk to you forever. You're so
I could talk to you forever. Come live with me. I love you. But you guys, seriously, pre-order Kara's book, Most Hated, today on Amazon. Comes out May 30th. Kara, thank you so much again for joining me. I had the best time ever, and we will
thank
talk
you
again
so much
soon. Thank you, love. Have a
will.
Great day, everybody. Bye. Okay.